Let's see, everybody here. So I found this. So I had this source from a shiur I gave somewhere or other, and I figured that we would just go through this. It's a really, really interesting topic. It's basically a machshava topic. Basically, what is Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah on, and what's the relationship of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in terms of being written in the Sefer HaChaim and Yom Kippur being sealed. It's a very, very interesting discussion, and it's actually based on the Gemara and the Rishonim. It's not like machshava. But let's go through and see how this works itself out, and we'll see some very, very interesting things. I don't claim to have any answers here. Okay, all I have is questions and sources, but you can't do not assume you're going to come out here with any answers. Just a lot of confusion, I guess, but some interesting lessons. Okay, so let's start with the following. Here we have in our tefillah, of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, which we already can tell Yitz and Rav Daniel and the rest of the Gabbayim for the Nates Minyan. We're already missing it, even though we haven't even had it. It hasn't happened yet. We're already missing it there. But whatever. Hopefully we have some.
Years in a row that you're missing.
Yeah, that's right. At least we got the first day last year. The first day through Shacharis at Musaf. Anyway, so we say on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yikaseim, and Yom Tzimtzum Yichaseim. Okay. That Rosh Hashanah is the day that we are written into the Sefer, hopefully of Chaim, and Yom Kippur is when it's sealed. Okay, Kama Ya'arun, Kama Yibarayun, how many people are going to die, how many people are going to live, Mi Yichyeh, Mi Yamus, who's going to come into the world, who's going to go out of the world, who's going to live, who's going to die, Mi Anuach, Mi Anuah, I'm skipping a little bit, as you probably remember, who's going to be able to rest calmly, who's going to be moving around, Shalei Lumis, Chaser, who's going to be Shalva, my daughter's name, who was born last year in Rosh Hashanah, tranquility, calmness. Who's going to have suffering? Okay, so this is what we say in Tfilas Musaf. Now, the question is, what is the basis? I mean, we all notice that Yom Rosh Hashanah is a day that we are judged. It's a Yom HaDin. But what's the basis for it? Where does it come from and what does it mean? So, if we had more time, I would do questions and everything here, but maybe we'll just go to the Makaros, at least for now. Just make sure we have a chance to get most of the stuff in. So the Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah, very famous Mishnah, says, we all say it in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah kol boi olam, ovrim lefanav kivnei marom. Again, Rosh Hashanah, everybody in the world goes in front of him, of course, being on Kadosh Baruch Hu, kivnei marom. Hey, what are kivnei marom? We don't really know exactly. The Gemara has a few options, but basically the idea of it is we go in front of Hashem one by one. Okay, either it's like sheep, or it's like people going up a mountain path. There's different explanations in the Gemara for it. But the main idea is one by one. Okay, achad achad. Hashem creates Yachal Libam, all of the people or their hearts together. He understands or looks in different interpretations what everybody's actions are. Meaning basically Hashem inspects everybody on Rosh Hashanah. So this is what the Mishnah says. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. The question is, how did the Mishnah know that? Where did the Mishnah get that from? Anybody know? Does it appear in the Torah? Is it in the Chumash anywhere that says Rosh Hashanah, we are judged? HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Doesn't say, right?
No.
It's like conspicuously missing if you think about it in the Torah. The Torah talks about, anybody remember?
What is
the Torah
talking about?
Yom Zikaron, Yom Zichron Trua, Yom Trua, some Karbanos. That's it, right? Not much else. So where did this whole Yom HaDin business come from? So we don't really know. My best guess is it probably was some sort of Mesorah. Okay, very, very, very ancient Mesorah, which means that's already like Halachim Lushmi Sinai, something like that. That's my guess. But if you look at... if you skip for a second source number 3, which we'll come back to in a minute, you skip to source number 4, so the Gemara itself actually gives us a source. It's not really a makor, but it's a remes from the Torah, where it says, Rav Nachman writes, like Amar Ladin, that the first day of Tishrei is considered Rosh Hashanah, it's the first day of the year, when it comes to being judged. Dechsiv me reshis ha-shanah, v'yarach ha-rishanah, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. That's what the Torah says when it talks about, actually, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz asher Hashem lekecha doreshusa, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So the Gemara darshans here, Mireishis HaShana Nidon Mayehebe Sofa. Mireishis HaShana means from the beginning of the year, you are judged for what's going to be at the end of the year. Okay, that's the Gemara's deal. Again, I can't say this is a source, but it's a remez, it's an asmachta, it's some sort of, you know, allusion to the fact that we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good. Who exactly is judged on Rosh Hashanah, and where does Yom Kippur come in? And what do we judge for in Rosh Hashanah? So if you look at source number 3, back up to source number 3, and in source number 3 we say something very interesting. Okay, the Gemara wants to figure out who the author of the Mishnah is that we started with in source number 2. Okay, who says that Rosh Hashanah is the day that we all come in front of Hashem. Who's the author? So the Gemara says, "Omer Rava, hi, Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, the Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, the Arba Prakim Alo Nidon." Okay, Rabbi Yishmael, the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael is the author of the Mishnah. Four times during the year, the world is judged. Okay, not just Rosh Hashanah, four times. What are they? Pesach Alatzua. Pesach is for grain. Batzeres, which is Shavuos Al Peiros Ha'ilam, fruits. Bechag Nidonan Al Maim, Sukkos is water. The Adam Nidon Rosh Hashanah, and people are judged on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? The Gzar Din Shilo Nechtam Yom HaKippurim. And the Gzar Din is on Yom Kippur. The Chiktani Masnitz and Aschilas Adin. So if the Gzar Din is on Yom Kippur, why does the Mishnah say we go in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is, it's the beginning. Tchilas Adin. The beginning of the judgment period is in Rosh Hashanah. So that's why the Mishnah says that. Okay. Now this is interesting, and there's a lot of points you can raise on this here. Excuse me?
This argument with the idea that at the beginning of the year, I know what's going to happen at the end of the year.
What do you mean? So presumably when Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said Ludin for judgment, presumably he meant for people. I'm going to assume for now that's what he meant. Okay, now you could argue, but most of the time in the Gemara there that I just quoted in source number 3, there's a few other time as well, which we don't have time to get into now, but most of them have some sort of relationship to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, there is one that says a person is judged every single day, which is an interesting question. One says a person is judged every minute. So again, the Mefarshim discuss, what does that really mean? We are judged every day, but does that mean that they don't agree with Rosh Hashanah? According to them, the whole Rosh Hashanah is a farce? Probably not. It probably is some sort of combination of both. Yeah.
These are Yemei Adin and not connected to the Abel Shei Hashanah and the other Mishnah?
That, no, it is connected. It is connected.
Like Tu B'Shvat's not.
Yeah, so it's not on this one, but it's the same. The Mishnah mentioned some of these also. Okay. I didn't bring down everything here, but yeah, they definitely might be connected. Not Tu B'Shvat.
But they're both for Din, or...
Tu B'Shvat does not seem to be that it's for Din.
Okay.
Right. These seem like they are. And again, it's not that everybody agrees with this. Meaning, you have some questions on this source number 3. Again, if we had more time, we could talk about this more. But just try to cut to the chase here. So number 1, we see, and again, importantly in this Mishnah, in this Gemara, on source number 3, we see number 1, Yom Kippur. Okay, I mean, here we do see a source of Yom Kippur being the day of the Chasima. Number 2, we see, interestingly enough, that Rosh Hashanah apparently is not the day of judgment for everything. Okay, if you ask me, well, when do we get judged? How much water are we going to get in our faucets? Or something like that. Or how much food are we going to have on our table? How much money am I going to make this year? That's a question I'm sure is on all of our minds, right? Not only for our selfish reasons, but just to support our families. According to the Gemara, you might get the impression that maybe it's Pesach, right? That doesn't really make sense, right? So how does that work? That's one question we have to think about a little bit. How is it that Rosh Hashanah we are judged, but yet on Pesach we're judged for grain and water on Sukkot? Those are all things that should be part of our judgment on Rosh Hashanah, you would think. So that's... one question. Anybody have an answer? You can answer that one without all the rest of these sources here. You have has a quick answer for that question.
We said about Rosh Hashanah that it's a Pnei Maron, okay. Individual.
Right.
The other thing is it seems more of a general.
Oh, good. Okay, excellent.
Rain, a little rain.
Right, excellent. Okay. So that's one of the answers. That's probably the best answer, I think, in my mind. That's the answer that I like the best. That's something the Farshim say. Would you say? Has to be. Yeah, you know, so say they go, they play around with it a little bit. No, there are other suggestions, but that's the, like, that they play around with that idea, okay, that there's a difference between the two types of Yemei Adin. That's probably the best one. That one is more klali. That's very, very general. And Rosh Hashanah is more specific, meaning there may be a certain amount of water that's judged, that's allotted to the world or each country on, you know, Sukkos, but the question of how much water or how much food or how much parnasa each person is going to get individually is going to happen on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, half the water may go to waste. Half the grain may go to this country and not to that country. You know, that part of it basically comes on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now again, the question is how specific do you get? Again, Rosh Hashanah and the tefillahs, we say that each country is judged also. Ba'al ha-medinos bo'yei amer. For the countries, we say ezo acherav, ezo ra'av. Right? Which one is going to have a sword? Which one is going to have famine? Which one is going to have sova? You know?
But so, yeah. You can judge just like Hashem can say... and then take it away.
Right. Okay. Also,
one judgment after another.
Right. Okay. Good. So there's different answers. Okay. So there could be that Hashem takes it away. Tosfos has one suggestion in the Gemara there that seems to be like maybe he thinks about it at one time in Rosh Hashanah and then he completes it later in the year. Yeah, you could play with it. Okay. You could definitely play with it, but it's something to be aware of. The main part, the rest of the discussion here is going to be based on the next source or two. Okay. First, before we go any farther, let's just try to understand. Pashup Shah, what is the judgment for Rosh Hashanah about? Okay, yes, we are judging Rosh Hashanah, but what types of issues are we judged for? Okay, we'll just make it clear. Are we judged for Ruchnius or Gashmius or something else? Gashmius, right? Meaning not just Gashmius, like what my tablecloth is going to look like, but are we going to live? Are we going to die? What we just said before, you know, how much money you're going to have? Exactly, yeah. Exactly, right. And are you going to have suffering, God forbid, and how, you know, all those kind of things. That's the Pashup Shah. Okay? Let's keep that in mind. The Ramban, basically in source number 5, it more or less spells that out. Okay? Take a look here. He says, V'akach l'inyan hazeh, b'Rosh Hashanah kol bay ha'olam, arin levlav, v'nidon kol achad v'achad b'nyanei olam hazeh. Okay, very clear. It's olam hazeh. This is Gashmias we're talking about. Is Gashmias important? Yes, it is. Okay? Because it affects a lot of other things also. But that's clearly what we're talking about here. Im zachal aseis lo chayim v'shalom, life, peace, osher, richness, wealth, nechasim, property, possessions, kavod, okay, honor, onis chayiv lamus b'shan hazeh. Are you going to die? Oli yisur and suffering, God forbid, sar, v'oni, poverty, pain. Klal shaldavar al kul inyan shabaguf v'shabalom hazeh. Okay? It's all about olam hazeh and things, bodily types of issues. Okay, go to b'nei chayim zoni. He's borrowing expression from a different Gemara. Okay, children, life, and parnasa. Okay, you know, who's going to, you're going to have children, parnasa, life, all those things. Aval einu nidon al hanefesh. Okay, your nefesh is not judged on Rosh Hashanah. In tizke l'gan eden. It's not decided on Rosh Hashanah, according to the Ramban, whether you're going to gan eden, or chayelam haba, or tizchayev l'kinom v'ivadon, etc., etc. Okay, and he basically quotes, you know, different sources here. Okay, one of them is the thing that we said before from the tefillah of al hamadidos bo ye amar. Okay, it says which country is going to get this and this and that. That's all olam hazeh. Okay, we'll stop there. We're not going to read the rest of it right now.
I think
there's a
message that
even
the people who have died are judged again.
Yeah, so that's one understanding of Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason. Yeah. So that's one of the things they say about Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason, Psuchim of Anacha. The question is, what does Sifrei Mason mean? Does Sifrei Mason mean who's going to live and who's going to die? Some of us, I don't remember who, is the Sfas Emes or it's other earlier
Moshe? It's
Midrash, maybe. I say Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason means those that are alive and also those that are dead. How do those that get judged? They already got judged. So one of the answers they give is that maybe they're judged based on things that you do for them during that year, or maybe other things that happen, meaning things that, let's say, that you know, they did something in their life. They made a certain decision to become firm or to do this or to do that. And the repercussions of that decision still reverberate throughout the world for years after they're not alive anymore. Okay, and they may still get schar or get punished for things that happen as a result of their actions 20 years later. That's pretty scary. Okay, that's not what I was going to get into now, but it's a very scary point, a very important point.
That can't be a physical judgment. That was my point.
That's a good point. Okay, that's a good point. So that would be... Good point. So that does not seem to fit with the Ramban, meaning that pshat probably would not be accepted by the Ramban. L'chora. Okay, again, we have to check who says that pshat, who accepts the Midrashim. But you're right, it's a good point that the Ramban and the other, most of the Mepharshim that accept that, probably would not take that at face value. Right. They'd have to explain it away, or they would say that they don't agree with it or something like that. We'll see later. There may be one source that does, that someone Rishon is familiar with already, that may go in that direction. Okay, so that's the Ramban, which is from his Drush on Rosh Hashanah, okay, which is a fascinating sefer, by the way. Very look at it. It's in the Kisvei Ramban, the Drush on the Ramban Rosh Hashanah. The only thing I can say about it is it's fascinating, but it's really, really long. I've been wondering for, like, maybe you know the answer to this, how many years? It's like, you know, 50 pages long. How long did it take for the Ramban to say that Drusha? When did they have time to daven and to, like, do anything else? They all fell asleep, probably. So I'm assuming it was over a number of years that he said them. You know, it wasn't like 1 year.
I think it says.
Right. It could be. I don't remember. Did he say?
It was 1 year. Yeah.
It was what? He gave it 1 year.
He
does have some
Israel actually. Overnight. He could
have That's true, right? Yeah, Israel. You're right. Because with all of this audience, how long, you know, how much did they pay for it? That's right. Beware, that's this year, right? Beware of your Drush and Shul. I don't know. It could be. I don't know. If he did, yeah, I think you're right. It does ring a bell. Maybe he did it in 1 year. Again, how many people were listening during that time? I have no idea. Before all the Piyutim, another possibility. Good. He was Sephardi, right? He didn't have all the Piyutim like the Ashkenazim do. Okay, good. So now here comes the next part. So let's assume for now at this point that we're talking about Olam Hazeh. The problem is, the big problems start when you read source number 6, Rabbi Chris Bedai. Okay, this is where the major, major issues come into play. Look at the source number 6 in the Gemara. This is Daf Tez Zayin on the days in Rosh Hashanah. Amar Rabbi Chris Bedai, Rabbi Yochanan. Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah. There are three Sfarim that are open in Rosh Hashanah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or by themselves, and looked at by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echad Shal Rishayim Gemurin. Okay, one is Rishayim Gemurin. Okay, complete Rishayim. Again, have to think about what that means. Does that mean complete Rishayim, or it's just an expression? Some sort of Rasha. Number 2, Echad Shal Tzadikim Gemurim. One is Tzadikim Gemurim. And 3, V'Echad Shal Beinonim. And one is of the average people. Yeah, the medium ones. So what happens to each one? Tzadikim Gemurim, you probably all know this. Nichtavim V'Nachtam La'ato L'Chaim. Tzadikim Gemurim are written and signed immediately into life. Rishayim Gemurim, Nichtavim V'Nachtam La'ato L'Chaim. Rishayim Gemurim are written and signed immediately to death. Beinonim, Tluyim Va'omdim, the medium ones are left hanging. Definitely figuratively, and maybe even literally. Neirosh, that's a different word, not for now. If anyone's from the Chaim Shmulevitz, has a very famous idea about this. where he says Beinim and Tzulim Ba'olim is literal in a spiritual sense, but literal in a spiritual sense. That basically, you know, even if we're 50-50, basically we're ki'ilu hanging on the noose, we're sitting on, you know, Hashem took the rope, he put it around our necks, and he is ready to hang us, but we still have a platform underneath us on our feet. So our job during the Sarasmei Tshuva is to make sure the platform does not get taken away, in which case we're just going to hang. Very scary. Again, he has the Dukim in the realm. It's a whole different story, which maybe we'll get to later, but I'm not sure if we'll get to it. But it's very, very fascinating and scary, as I said. Anyway, so what happens to the Binyamin? They're left hanging from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. Zachu nechtavim l'chaim. Lo zachu nechtavim l'misa. If they're zocha, they're written for life. If they're not zocha, they're written for misa. What questions do you have in this Gemara? There are a lot. There's quite a few of them. Anybody have any immediate questions, like big questions that come to mind here? How does this... Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we don't see a correlation in the modern world between somebody who's a big tzaddik who dies at some point in a Russia who, you know, whatever, doesn't necessarily die early and things like that.
Okay.
No, it just doesn't seem to happen. If you read it literally.
And there seems no way for the Rosh Hashanah either.
Meaning?
Well, there's no idea of tshuva for the Rosh Hashanah.
You're saying either way, both things, everything is the same. There's no way. It doesn't happen. It doesn't seem to be. You're saying, okay, good. Let's say like this, okay? That's like the understatement of the year, that this doesn't seem to happen. But basically, you know, you look at the world, this is completely incomprehensible.
I don't know.
Okay, completely incomprehensible. Okay,
right?
That may be true. But again, you know, to say that they're nechtavim, you know, that a Rasha is immediately put to death, there are people that we think are clearly, clearly Rishon, and they're not put to death. People that are clearly tzaddikim in anybody's book. Maybe not a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but in anybody's our books. Yeah, okay. Why did he die every year, you know? So they live. Some tzaddikim die, okay? Some tzaddikim suffer. What in the world is going on here? In this Rabbi Crispa died, Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't make any sense, okay? It's a major, major problem. And I would just modify your question with one word I take issue with, which is you said that in modern times we don't see this. I don't think at any times they ever saw this. Okay, even 1,000 years ago, did you see that Rishonim were always?
They didn't have as much data.
They didn't have as much data. That's right. We need you guys to the statistics people to put it together. That's right. Good. That's the major, major problem. Okay, there's one or two other problems here also, which if you were paying attention to the earlier Makaras, you may have noticed as well. Okay, go back to what we said before, Yom Kippur. Who's Yom Kippur for? Again, let's ignore for now the question of whether we get Mechila for our Averus and Yom Kippur. That's clear. It's clear that we get Mechila and, you know, forgiveness, Kapara, for our sins on Yom Kippur. But the question is, in terms of how Hashem is deciding what's going to happen to us in the coming year, who's Yom Kippur for? What do we see before and what do we see here?
Everyone, and then here it says it's only for Bein Lamim.
It's also a big problem, right? So again, I cannot guarantee we're going to solve that one. The first one, we're going to give a few different answers
for.
Okay. It very well may be. Okay. But the question is, again, how do we deal with this? Okay.
What's
a
great
thing? These are big problems. Okay. These are big problems. Earlier, we said that Yom Kippur seems to be, sound like it was for everybody. Everybody has a chasima sadin on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, it says and not nechtavim.
For the Beinuim we're talking about. Good. That's also a question. Why did the Beinonim only get written? They didn't get sealed. Yeah. Maybe the point is that it came together.
You
that's just...
either have to say he's not like that is literal, or
right.
You have to say we have a vastly incorrect understanding of what
right.
The word tzaddik means.
Good. Okay. Good. You're absolutely right. Again, we're not going to.
Yeah, well,
that's what I'm
saying. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Again, I'm not going to promise we're going to answer all these questions, but you know, there is something to that. I thought I saw one little vort. This was not like a pushy answer, but one little vort was that the Beinonim are nichtavim l'chaim on Yom Kippur. And the chasim of the Beinonim is, guess one? Take one guess. The chasim of the Beinonim, of course, based on your question. The chasim of the Beinonim is on Hoshana Rabbah. And we talk on Hoshana Rabbah about a piskatava, about sending a little petek that Kadosh Baruch Hu sends to, you know, execute the din that he made on Yom Kippur. So some say that, I forgot who said that, maybe that was the Sfas Sevis, I don't remember exactly. But somebody says that that's what happens for the Beinonim, that's what happens on Hoshana Rabbah. The chasim.
That's a big omission from the Gemara.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. 100%. And I cannot guarantee I'm going to answer that question. I did see some answers, and offhand, I don't remember exactly what they were, but they weren't like, you know, solid answers from the Rishon. You can like sink your teeth into. Okay, that's
so
a really.
Who's being sealed in Yom Kippur then? How come the goldenness of the Megillah is? Everybody's being sealed.
Yeah, so that's part of the problem, okay?
No, I'm
so,
that answer. Then.
According to that answer, you're right. So again, the Tzaddikim and the Rishon. The Tzaddikim and the Rishon. The question. Right. Oh, that's what you're saying. Right. So who's the right? So, okay. So we have some serious problems here. Okay. We have some serious problems here. Okay. So let's try to deal mainly with the question of the mitzvahs in the world, and then at the end, we'll try to spend a few more minutes to try to give some answers to the question of how this whole thing works with the Beinonim. Okay? The other question for the Beinonim, by the way, which you didn't mention exactly, but I think it was probably also understood, is that how do you define Tzaddikim and Beinonim and Rishayim? Okay? Are Beinonim like everybody in the world, or is Beinonim just people that are exactly 50 on 50? Okay? Meaning, this is also a question. When the Gemara talks about Tzaddikim, Gemurim, and Rishayim, Gemurim, Beinonim, what is the definition of each term? This is already, I think, Shmuel mentioned before. That's also a question. It's not so clear. Okay?
They're waiting to be any point saying
it. Yeah.
And the other implication is there must be a Tzaddik, Lo Gamur, and a Tzaddik.
Okay. So that's what Rashi says. Okay? Rashi says very simply, again, it's unclear. Again, I want to get to the complicated parts here. Rashi in the Gemara says that Tzaddikim, Gemurim means somebody who has more Zechuyos. And Rishayim Gemurim means somebody who has more Averus. And Beinonim means somebody who's exactly 50-50. Okay? It's not the Pashup Shot of the words Tzaddikim Gemurim and Rishayim Gemurim, but when you understand the Gemara, it seems like that makes the most sense, because if the Beinonim were Tzulim Ve'omdim, the Beinonim was somewhere in the middle, it's hard to say that the Beinonim is like every single person in the world except for like the one person that lives, you know, 2,000 years ago who's a Tzaddik Gemur who never sinned. It seems very unusual that the Gemara would talk about the entire world like this. So Rashi logically probably makes more sense that we're talking about Tzaddikim Gemurim as a Tzaddik, more Zechuyos, Rasha Gemur is more Averus, and Beinonim is somebody who's right in the middle. But there are other Mefarshim also, which we'll see soon, that may say a little bit differently. The other question is, what is Zachal and Lo Zachal? Okay, what does it mean they're Zoche? How are you Zoche? And what about the Beinonim? Okay, it says, you know, if they're 50-50, then if they don't, let's say they don't do anything. Okay, they just did nothing. They didn't do any Averus, they didn't do any mitzvahs. So what is that? Is that Zachal or Lo Zachal? Like, what, you know, what's going on here? And if Zachu means that they had more mitzvot, then why is 50-50? Like, the whole thing is a little bit strange. So let's see what the Mefarshim have to say about this. Okay, again, they don't answer every single question here, but they answer some of the big ones, and at the end we'll try to patch together some of the other ones. Okay, so some of you already had some ideas, suggestions here. Anybody have any other suggestions? I think Shmuel already had a good way of putting it here. Basically, what the Mefarshim may have to do here, basically, this is like a sugya of Gemara. Even this is like serious machshava about Yom HaDin and what happens to us. But the Rishon treat this like a regular sugya in the Gemara. They say, well, if the Gemara has a stira, or if it, you know, doesn't fit the Metzias, we're going to modify something. We'll change this. We'll say that this doesn't mean exactly what it says. We'll change what we think happens in, you know, in Shamayim. All sorts of things to make the Gemara make sense. So let's start with source number 7, which is the only Rishon that doesn't really change anything. Okay, the Rambam.
It's just Gemara, by the way, the question, right? It's not even the Mishnah.
Correct. It's Rabbi Kris B'dai. Rabbi Kris B'dai caused all the problems, and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, the Mishnah and the Gemara until then, where everything was fine. He's the one that brings in, you know, Tzaddikim Gemurim and Rishayim Gemurim and the Beinonim. He's the one that talks about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, with Yom Kippur being only for Beinonim. He messed up everything, basically. Yeah. Basically, again, Chas V'Shalom, he messed up it. But if you think about it, the Pashas, it sounds like he changed everything. Okay, everything was fine until he got to him. And then he throws in all these tremendous chidushim here. We don't know where anything came from, and it just doesn't make any sense. So let's see what the Mefarshim do with it. So in source number 7, the Rambam, let's see what he says. Just like a person's zechuyos and averus are weighed at the time he dies, that's the other part of the Gemara which we did not read, but that's the same Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that talks about that. So too, every year, somebody's averus and zechuyos are weighed. Somebody who's found to be a tzaddik is sealed for life on Rosh Hashanah. And one who is found to be a Rasha is sealed for death in Rosh Hashanah. And the Beinoni is basically, he's held in, you know, in a holding pattern, so to speak, until Yom Kippur. If he does tshuva, he gets chayim. He's sealed for chayim. Again, here the Rambam changes it from nechtav l'chayim to nechtav l'chayim. Notice that? So apparently he thought the Gemara was lavdafka and said nechtav. He says it really means nechtav. Why did it say nechtav? I don't really know. That's what he says, interestingly enough. And if not, nechtam l'misa, you're sealed to death. The other thing he noticed, was that?
He also answers your other question.
Right. What is zachal and lo zachal according to the Rambam?
And there's no middle ground here.
Right. Also correct. Okay. And according to him, zachal and lo zachal, zachal means he did tshuva. Okay. So here you have to think about that also. What does that mean? He did tshuva. What happens if he did nothing? He's 50-50. He didn't do tshuva. He didn't do anything. Why is he nechtam l'misa? And the answer is because he didn't do tshuva. Apparently not doing tshuva is by itself, that's enough to be machriya his din into the misa category. So the Rambam does answer some of our questions in the way that he wants to answer them, but does he answer the Matthias in the world question? Does he explain, like, well, we don't see the Rishayim, you know, are dying and the Tzaddikim are always living? Sometimes they suffer, sometimes they... The Rambam doesn't address it. So the Rambam seems to have understood really Kris B'dai in a literal fashion, and he says, well, you know, if you ask me, well, that's not what we see in the world necessarily. Sometimes it is, but not always. What's he going to tell you? Pass the buck, you know? Ask him with a capital H. I have no idea. I just quoted the Gemara. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Krista Dai says, I have no idea. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the, he decides what happens to everybody, and he gets to decide who's a Rasha and who's a Tzaddik, and we have no idea. Okay? And just trust him to be in charge. He'll do what he needs to do. Okay?
The other question on the Rambam is what happens when you die?
Okay.
You've already been judged.
Good question. So the Mefarshim all deal with that because the Gemara talks about that. I just left it out for time purposes. If you go back to the Gemara later on your own time,
okay,
the next section of the Gemara after the Krista Dai is a Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, I think it is. And they talk about three groups of people on Yom HaDin, like the great Yom HaDin. And one of the understandings there seems to be that he's talking about when people die, what happens to you. There's Gehinnom, there's this, there's that. It seems to be that there is still an element of judgment when you die, and there's still an element of judgment on Rosh Hashanah. How do they fit together? That's a good question. The answer may be, well, on Rosh Hashanah, you're decided for your Gashmias, like we said before, what happens to you in Gashmias every year, but your final judgment is not yet decided. Okay, that's one way to get out of it. There may be other ways also, but that's one way. Okay, so that's the Rambam. Here's the Rambam, again, answered some of our questions. Some of it he just said, you know, he doesn't explain, and we just have to say Hashem knows what he's doing, and we have no idea. Okay, let's look at some of the other answers. The Ravid in source number 8 accepts the Rambam partially, but he has a little twist. He says here, Lo Kamoshu Sover, referring to the Rambam, Shekasha Amru Shem Nechtam Alter Lamisa Shemiyad Mason. He says, don't think that when it says that the Rishayim are Nechtam Alter Lamisa, that they die immediately. Even though it says they're sealed for death immediately, it doesn't mean they die immediately, and it doesn't even mean they die that year. Look at this. He says, Ve'eno Kain, it's not true. Ki Yesh Rishayim Chaim Harbe. Look outside. There's some Rishayim that live for a long time. El Nechtam Alter, La'alter, Shelo yimalu yimehem shnei hador shenigzru alav. What that means? They won't complete or fulfill their days for their generation that was decreed for them.
It's like Karis.
Something like that, yeah. Good analogy. Again, he doesn't say this is Karis, but it's something similar. Okay, it's
what
more
about Karis?
What's that?
Not the spiritual Karis. You're saying like the literal.
Right, well, that's one of the explanations, right. It's machlok, it's all discussion, right. But one possibility is that Karis
means
you die young.
Smokes there, cigarettes.
Right.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. That's a great mashal. Don't do it. But it's a great mashal, right? He says basically every year you're judged, and you were allotted to, let's say, 95 years of life or 70 years of life, whatever it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at every year, and based on whatever cheshbon he makes, he may decide, well, based on your actions, you lost 5 years of your life. And you'll never know. I mean, you'll die whenever, you'll never know whether you can never argue with this.
Why are you judging him?
Right.
2017.
So that's a question. So what's the Rav going to answer? What's the Rav going to answer? He's going to answer, it's based on what you did this past year. But it doesn't mean that you're going to die next year. It means you might die in 10 years. But your decision of how much was taken away, you know, was now. Fascinating. Again, how does that work? I have no idea.
Each exam, like, gives you the finals to the final.
Exactly. Right.
So once again,
that's another good example.
You're
okay, not the
most. In 10 years' time, and next year, if you have a good year, you can work.
So that's a good question also. From the Ravid, I don't know. From other Mefarshim, we'll see soon.
If it says, if he decides this year you're going to die in 10 years' time, and then next year you have a good year,
yeah.
So then you're next.
Right, it's not clear.
It could be the next year, depends how good it is. If you get 10 years extra next year, then you're even.
Right. So, yeah. My feeling from the Ravid itself is that he doesn't agree with that. It could be one of the other Mefarshim Tosfos later probably does agree with that. We'll see in a few minutes. My impression from the Ravid is that he would say once you lost it, you lost it. But it's not clear. Okay, you're right. It's not 100% clear. It sounds like here, once you've decided that's it, and then the next year you can only go down, you can't go up. But again, it's not 100% clear. Let's hope that we're not in this category. Okay. Let's hope for our sakes.
A bad gzera can be.
You're right.
We can get rid of it with
you're right.
Like tshuva or tefillah.
You're right. You're right.
But a good one is never is irrevocable, right?
Probably there may be some exceptions to that also, but probably.
About this year, as opposed to last year.
Right. So that's also the question.
In general principle,
right.
I don't know.
It's true. The question is again that tshuva, let's say up until Yom Kippur or until whenever your nechtam, but maybe after that, once Hashem decided, maybe that's it. You can't change it, and maybe even if you say you can change it. Maybe you say what you can change is your Gashmias Gzardin, but your Ruchnias Gzardin, your Gashmias Gzardin for what happens to you this year. But in terms of your lifespan, maybe you can change whether you're going to make a certain parnasa this year, whether you're going to have children or not have children, whether you're going to move or not move. You know, who knows? Sorry for No.
Yeah.
Just came out. Anyway, but you know, maybe what the Rabbi is saying, those things are included in your tshuva, but in terms of how many years you live in your life, you know, maybe not. Again, let's hope that we don't pass like the Rabbi for this point, okay? Just because I said it, and the Rabbi said it, maybe he said it. You know, maybe we don't pass like this. That's one possibility. We don't really know. And number two, it could be bad is right. Would you say? Or it could be the better. Maybe the Rabbi would agree that you could change it every year. It's possible. I don't know. It seems to me like not, but maybe, you know, again, we don't know. But we certainly, in our davening, we certainly daven for a lot of things. And we certainly, when you say tehillim for somebody who's sick, you know, we certainly don't, like, take the Rabbi and say, okay, let's, like, act practically based on the Rabbi. Okay, the way we practically act in terms of people dying and, you know, tehillim and things like that, we act as if our actions and our tehillim and our feelings can change things. And I think they do. You see the way things work. You know, there are miracles that take place when we daven. So, you know, whatever the Rabbi, whatever he would say, you know, I think that there's still what to be, you know, what to daven for, I would assume. Okay, next Shito, Sefer HaChinuch, number 9. So he says, Umash Amr Sham Shlosha Sfarim Yiftachim Rosh Hashanah, Echad Shal Tadikim Gemurim Echad Shal Rishayim Gemurim Echad Shal Beinonim, Tadikim Gemurim Nechtavim Nechtavim Alter L'chaim, Perish Mori, Tzadik Gemur Bekan Shekulo Zachai, V'chein Rosh Hagar Bekan Shekulo Chaim. He says, don't change the understanding of what Nechtavim L'misa means or Nechtavim L'chaim means. Change the definition of what Tzadik Gemur and Rosh Hagar means and take it literally. Tzadik Gemur means he is completely Zachai, completely worthy. Rosh Hagar means he is completely chayav. And that's why somebody who's a complete Rasha is Nechtam Yad L'Misa. What'd you say? Excuse me?
Complete Tzadik, I get. What's complete Rasha?
Right. So that's a good question. Okay. It sounds like his idea is he only has an Eris and no Mitzvahs.
I take a 5-minute break.
You're right. That's what it sounds like. Now, do you know so many people like that? I hope not. You know?
One
guy. All right. Right. Yeah. And again, I don't know if it means he's doing it there every second. He didn't do any mitzvahs. Okay, somebody who's zaka kulo zaka, I mean, he didn't do any averus. At least not on purpose. Maybe he did averus to show. He didn't do any averus on purpose. So anyway, again, we don't know so many people like that, so it's hard to like contradict that. You can't say, oh, look at the world. You know, we don't know anybody like that. So maybe there's like one guy, or there was one guy 2,000 years ago, but we don't know, we don't meet them.
Maybe
we don't see them.
That's
why he's saying he's trying to explain them why the Messias makes sense. Exactly right.
Yeah, it's also interesting. Yeah, his Beinu names.
Hold on one second. Okay, that's the Rishayim has no zchus in this world to protect him at all. Beinonim tsluyim ad Yom Kippurim. The Beinonim are hung until Yom Kippur. Va'az gemar din shalahem nechtam. And then he also switches the word to nechtam from nechtav in the Gemara, interestingly enough. He says, then it is sealed on Yom Kippur. And that's one interesting point. The other interesting point, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, is according to him, what do you think a Beinoni is?
Everybody.
Okay, that's what maybe sort of what we say, which is, again, some of the later Acharim say that Pnei Yoshua has a pshat here. He didn't look at the Sefer HaChinuch, but he said it on his own. That's more what we say, that everybody's a Beinoni, okay? Which may be true, okay? But again, remember that Rashi didn't say it, okay? Meaning it's against Rashi, which is fine, but just remember, it's not the Pasha Pshat. Look at my Rashi said Beinoni is 50-50. So,
but
he says...
Just, meaning
yeah.
If you take his like approach, right. You would have thought that Beinoni, so if he turns out to be mostly good, he's going
right.
to... turns out to be mostly bad, he's going to die, which
right.
is problematic, but he doesn't
right.
actually say that.
Right.
And it's Lashon.
So I think, so the big...
The
big question for Sefer HaChinuch is, you know, if you're a Beinoni, so you're waiting till Yom Kippur. A Beinoni is anybody who is not completely righteous or completely, you know, wicked. But then the question is, well, how does Hashem decide which way they're going to go? Meaning if it's not 50-50, it's whatever they are. It's, you know, they might have 3,000 Averos and one Mitzvah, or the other way around. Then if they're a Beinoni, then how did Hashem decide before Yom Kippur what should happen to them? It doesn't say. It doesn't explain anything. What's the Chasima? How is the Chasima? We don't know. That's a big question mark, okay? Which is fine because we're not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But again, in terms of explaining the Gemara, though, it's a big question that the Sefer HaChinuch, you know, that part of his pshat is not so glot because we don't really know what's happening with the Beinonim in here. Okay.
50-50, it's a lot easier if you, the point of Bechira, if they say that each of us have to, you know, I'm not deciding when I'm going to dab or not. I just
right.
dab it. I have to learn something I don't.
Okay.
I don't get a lot of credit for that.
So that's a whole other.
If we don't go through the entire year, we haven't made a single choice.
Right.
We haven't got it
right.
grown at all.
Right.
We might very well be right in the middle.
Very possibly. So that's.
If
yeah. he
would say something like, if he does any tiny
right.
little thing,
right.
he wouldn't say if he does two.
You're right.
If he does
maybe.
Little,
right. Maybe.
First little mitzvah.
It's hard to say, meaning we don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos. You're bringing basically the Rav Dessler, the Mitzvah Leviyahu, who is the famous idea that a person's Bechira is not what we think of Bechira as. It's not, you know, that you're choosing to get up in the morning and daven and choose this. It's basically you're on autopilot. If your autopilot says, okay, I get up in the morning and I daven, then your Bechira is, well, how much Kavanah did I have for each part of davening? You know, or something like that. So then maybe Hashem is going to judge you as a Beinoni or whatever you're going to be He's going to judge you based on where your choices were, not based on what you were on autopilot for. The fact that you didn't keep Shabbat, you know, that you kept Shabbat, maybe it was autopilot. Okay, you didn't even think about breaking Shabbos for most of the things that you did. Maybe that's not part of your bechira. That's not going to be part of your judgment. We don't know. But again, that's another interesting cheshbon to bring in. And again, just reinforces the idea that we have no idea what Hashem is judging based on. Even if you say, I saw my friend and I see my friend, I kept the stats. Okay, I saw my friend or my kids. You know, I followed him all day and I saw he did 20 of the errors and he did 5 mitzvahs. Okay, but you don't really know where his bechira is. So you still can't. Maybe you can guess, but like you don't really know. And maybe he himself doesn't really know. So.
It has the quotes for these questions. It's in at the end of the first practice division.
Right.
Where it says, how do we judge someone?
It's right.
Like they're a tree.
Right.
And they have one side on one, their roots on
good.
One side of the fence.
Okay. Good. So
I'm asking, are you going to quote
good. So Tosos quotes actually, Tosos number 11.
Ah, so he said that's the thing.
So yeah. Like, yeah. So that makes things even harder. Okay.
Are you big adult bad?
Yeah.
Or are you not sure if you're good or bad?
Yeah. Yeah.
The 50-50.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, and then there's a whole other set of things also that come out of that tomorrow, which maybe he'll mention. But yeah, so you're right. There's a lot of questions. Yeah. Okay, let's go on here. Just try to finish up in time. The Ramban, source number 10, the same drasha on Rosh Hashanah, a little bit later. So he has the same question and a different answer. The same question, he says, Yesh lish ol heich pasak rabbi yochanan psak adin agadol v'amuk hazeh shekol razeh olam tzvuyin bo. Okay, all the secrets of the world are dependent on this. How did he say this? Do we see? Do all the wicked people die? That's not true. Okay, etc., etc., etc. And then he says there are psukim that say not like that. The pasuk says yesh tzadik oveid b'tzikar. I just skipped a couple words there. It says sometimes the tzadik dies because Hashem wants to give him schar, whatever it is. Sometimes tzadikim get bad things after them. Tzadik v'ralo. The cholshkin shapasak v'rishayim gemurim b'tzavim v'tzavim alto misa. So, how does he say that a Rasha Gamor is going to be sealed to death? Okay, the Pasuk says that sometimes a Rasha, Kohela says that sometimes a Rasha lives for a long time. How could it be? So basically, turn the page. I'm skipping a little bit here. Basically, he says, he put a little twist here on who's called the Tzadik and who's called the Rasha. Not like the Sefer HaChinuch, but in a different way. Call it Zoche Bedino Nikra Tzadik Gamor. Tzadik Gamor is not based on your actions, he says. It's not based on what you did. Tzadik Gamor is based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided for your din is going to be. Are you going to be given life this year? Or are you going to be given death? Or good or bad? Suffering or... Absolutely. But again, the Ramban had a... Not?
51%.
But that's not even what he says, though. It's not really 51%. He's saying that however HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided what your din should be, Tzadik is the person that got a good din, and Rosh is the person that got a bad din. Look at this. Anybody who is, chayav in Hashem's judgment is called a rasha. But the one who is Hashem is sort of even on him, he doesn't decide either way. He's a benoni. What does that mean? I don't really know. How did Hashem decide that the tzaddik? How did he not decide that the benoni? I have no idea. Okay? But what he does here, basically, he does give a proof. I'm not going to read it inside. I'll just skip it. But later in the piece, he does give a proof of this. He says in the Torah, we have a few psukim in the Torah where tzaddik is used to refer to somebody who is innocent. Okay, v'itzdikuas ha-tzaddik v'rishuas ha-rasha in Parshas Kisetze. And another Parshas Mishpatim, where he says, they point out that basically, there's another passage also they talk about. He says that tzaddik means, in those contexts, tzaddik means somebody who is made innocent by the court. The court decided you are innocent and you are guilty. Guilty is Rasha and innocent is Tzadik. That's the word the Torah uses. So Ramban says that's what the Gemara means here also. It means Hashem decided whoever is going to get life or good judgment is a Tzadik and whoever's not is a Rasha. But is he really a Tzadik? No, that's not his overall evaluation. But for his judgment this year, that's what he's referred to by the Gemara. Is it a cop-out? Yeah, it's a cop-out. But it's, if you're willing to take the Teich, then it answers his questions of how we deal with, Mitzias and Olam Hazeh. So that's the Ramban's way to finish. Okay, so again, you see what the Mepharshim are doing here. Okay, let's last answer. This is Tosos. This is like the most wild one. Okay, Tosos says in source number 11, "V'nechtalim alter l'chaim." So he says, "Midukachashiv beinonim ma'ashma b'tzadikim kar l'mishas zuchilas of meru." Okay, he says like Rashi here as well that the beinonim, the fact that there's a category of beinonim, means that tzadikim are not somebody who's a tzadik gamor, and that's what the Gemara says. Tzadik means somebody who's zuchilas of merubim, who has more merits. And Rishayim is Gemurim is Lishavanos of Merubim, somebody whose averas are greater. Again, greater, we don't know what that means. Maybe greater means more, maybe greater means more severe. We don't know, but whatever it is. And sometimes Tzadikim get Misa, As others, Rishayim get Chayim. Okay, that's our problem. How does that work? Tichsiv Mishalim Sanav El Panav Lahavido. The Rebbe himself prepared Gamma the Kedushin, that's what the Gemara Kishmul is referring to. Mishas Chiyosav Rubim Mivonosav Doma Kedushin Seraf is called Arakuba. Somebody who has more merit than Averis is like he burned the whole Torah. The Lo Sher Menor Achzachas, and he didn't leave one letter. What, how is that? It means in terms of the punishment, meaning Hashem may punish you in Olam Hazeh, if you're a tzaddik, to give you all of your punishment for your Averis now, to leave you with your schar for Olam Haba. Okay, and the opposite for some Rishon. Again, we don't know exactly how this works, but that's always mentioned as one of the possibilities for understanding why Tzadik Varalo and Rasha Batovlo. He says, and how does Gemara make sense? And he continues, you could be like somebody who kept the whole Torah, even if you have more Averis, if you get a good judgment from Hashem, etc., etc. And then in the last couple words, he says, whoa. Let's read that again. Anybody, when it says Rishayim get Misan, Tzadikim get Chayim, it does not mean in this world. Because we see it's not true. Number one, it's not true in the world. Number two, what he says here is that Hashem, you know, sometimes does the opposite. He gives you, you know, he gives you punishment to get rid of your Averis in this world, even if you're a Tzadik. So he says what it means in the Gemara is Olam Haba. So what's going on here? According to Tosos, we're getting judged on Rosh Hashanah for Olam Haba. How do you understand this? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. What does this mean? What's Tosos talking about here? Okay, this is a hard one to swallow, right? So the Mefarshim, the later Mefarshim, try to understand what Tosos means here. And in addition to this also, this is back to the question we had before, does this mean that every single year you judge Olam Haba? Don't you only get Olam Haba once? How does it change every year? Maybe it can change every year. Maybe that's what I said before.
It doesn't mean that it's the judgment of Olam Haba.
Okay.
If I'm judging the Yom Zohar for Olam Haba,
right.
I'm going to decide to punish you this year.
Yeah, but Tosas doesn't sound like he's talking about punishing you this year. It sounds like he's talking
about
that.
You're right.
I understand. I understand. Right. But the Pashup Chad of Tosos sounds like what he's saying is that because of that, therefore the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah can't mean that. It has to mean that when the Hashem is judging you, Nechtavim or Nechtavim L'chaim L'misa, it doesn't mean Olam Hazeh because it can't mean that because it's not true.
No,
therefore it means Olam Haba. How does that fit?
I'm deciding that you're a Ben Olam Haba. And therefore, this is what's going to happen to you.
Okay, fine. So good.
You know,
okay, good. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Good.
I have to prepare you by...
Okay, good. So that's how Tosfos HaRosh understands it, okay? We're not going to read inside now, but source number 13, basically, Tosfos HaRosh basically says that there is a connection. He says what Tosfos really meant is that you are getting judged for your level of Olam Haba, meaning based on what you did, your actions, you get judged for Olam Haba, but that also impacts on your actions in this world, because Hashem decides, based on what you're going to get out for Olam Haba, Hashem is going to decide based on that, what are you going to get Olam Hazeh? He wants to make sure that you get your fair Olam Haba, so based on that, he's going to work out your Olam Hazeh to get whatever it should be. What is it? Does it mean you're going to get more bad things? If you did mitzvahs, you're going to get bad things next year? We don't really know. It's hard to say exactly. But that's what Tosfos HaRosh says, that really they are connected. Okay. Others understand a little bit differently. Maybe it is Olam Haba. And again, maybe you know Olam Haba means that every year you can go up and down, meaning your Olam Haba will get like greater or worse depending on what you did that year. Okay? Also not so clear. But what's fascinating is that Tosfos says that the Gemara is referring to Olam Haba in some form, which none of them first accepted. Okay. But it's a live shita. Okay. Very interesting. So now, according to that, we have to figure out. Let me finish off with the following. Two conclusions here. Okay, one conclusion is a halacha conclusion, one conclusion is just a general observation of thoughts, which are sort of related to this, but not exactly. The halacha conclusion is the following. Okay, very, very fascinating. Is there any practical nafkamina based on all this stuff? Okay, a lot of these things we see that we don't really have any idea what's going on in Rosh Hashanah.
Do tshuva,
okay? It's not going to hurt. It's very scary. We're going to assume, you know, for now, that we don't exactly know what's going on. But, okay, according to this, we still have we're left with some questions here. We'll see if we can answer the questions right now. How does this affect anything in Rosh Hashanah? So one interesting nafkamina which comes out of this is the following, okay? There's a famous custom of Rosh Hashanah that says, L'shana tova, tikhasev, tikatev, v'teichatev. Okay, question is, what are you supposed to say? So in the Ramah, in source number 15, he says, the custom is to say, L'shana tova, tikatev. Okay? The Magen Avraham adds in the word, v'teichatev. The question is, does Teichatem really make sense or not? So let's think it through, okay, and do some mumbles here for just a minute, okay? If you hold like most of the Rishon, if you hold like the Sefer HaChinuch and the Ramban and all the others that basically say that the Gemara of Rabbi Crispa Dai, who said, you know, there's Beinonim, Tzadikim, and Rishon, if that Gemara is talking about Olam Hazeh, okay, the whole thing is about Olam Hazeh. If that's true, then basically what the Gemara is saying is that for a Tzadik Gemur, when is the Chasima? on Rosh Hashanah. Only for the Beinonim is the Chasim or Ksiv or whatever is on Yom Kippur. So if we say on Rosh Hashanah, Lashana Tomati Kasev, Zechasev Ma'al, Terchayim, Tomati Mishalom, what are we saying basically according to the Mepharshim? We want you to be a Tzaddik. Right, exactly. We're, exactly. We're wishing you to be a Rosh Hashanah Tzaddik. Whatever, okay. We want you to get a good year, okay? Whichever version you take. Okay, Tzaddik Gomor, Rosh Hashanah Tzaddik, Half Tzaddik. Whichever version you take, that's what most of the Mepharshim are going to say. Okay? That makes sense. According to Tosfos, though, okay, if Tosfos is saying that the whole Gzera is Olam Haba, so this is what's interesting, okay? So the Gra here basically says, I think that you should not say Maseich HaSeim. Why is that? Because the Gra, again, this is also a little tricky in the Gra, so we're not going to read it inside. It's a little tricky, but basically I'll give you his idea. His idea is that when the Tosfos says that it's the Gzera of Rosh Hashanah is Olam Haba, he didn't mean it's only Olam Haba, he meant that it's both. Okay, not only in the sense that you said, Shmuel, but even in the regular sense. He meant that it's both. It means that we get judged on Rosh Hashanah for Olam Haba, which makes it affect some of our things in Olam Hazeh as well. But he says we also get judged for Olam Hazeh completely. Okay, every single part of Olam Hazeh, even if it's not related to our Olam Haba, we also get judged. There's two different judgments going on in Rosh Hashanah. The gross is that explains, according to Tosfos, why we have the contradiction of Rabbi Chris Bedai and the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the Yom Kippur is for everybody, and Rabbi Chris Bedai said the Yom Kippur is only for the Beinonim. So the Gra says, according to Tosfos, that makes sense. You know why? Because when Rabbi Chris Bedai talked about the Beinonim, okay, that was talking about Olam Haba. Okay, for Olam Haba, Yom Kippur is not relevant, except if you're a Beinonim. Okay, Rosh Hashanah is when everybody's going to get decided for Olam Haba. But the Gra says for Tosfos, the judgment of Olam Hazeh is on Rosh Hashanah for everybody. Meaning, that, I'm sorry, the Rosh Hashanah for everybody, and the Gzardin, the Chasima, is on Yom Kippur. I mean, the Gra is saying differently than what you said before. This is a different interpretation. He's saying, when the Mishnah and the Gemara say that the Chasima is on Yom Kippur for everybody, that's really true, but that's for our Gzera of Olam Hazeh. When Rabbi Chris Bedai says that the Beinoni only is Chasima on Yom Kippur, that's Olam Haba. So the Gra is saying there's really two judgments on Rosh Hashanah, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And when we say, L'shanah toh tika seva seh chaseh, which one are we talking about? We're talking about Olam Hazeh. And for that, the Chasima is not a Rosh Hashanah, it's on Yom Kippur. So the Gra says, because of that, don't say Maseich HaSeim, only say Tika Tev, not Tika Tev. So you have Machlokas and the Mefarshim here, do you say Tika Tev or not? They say it's based on this understanding of which Pagers you follow. Do you follow Tosis or do you follow all the other ones? The Minhag seems to be like Maseich HaSeim, it seems like the Magen Avraham. You know, whether you like the answer or not, that seems to be what we do. But again, you know, there are different interpretations here, there are different explanations. Just pointing out to you, it's very, very interesting that there is a halachic aspect to this, according to the different Mefarshim. Okay.
You didn't mention it, but the second night.
Good question.
Say that.
So they talk about it. That's also machlokas. Okay. Many posts say you shouldn't say it the second night at all because the gzar didn't already take place on the first day. Some say, well, maybe not. Maybe we just do it again just because. Maybe some things did remain till the second night. It's not so clear exactly. Maybe we just do it as a stam minhag. You know, it's not really, we know already it was decided, but, you know, according to that, then why in the world do you daven all the things in Rosh Hashanah? You know, why is being in Rosh Hashanah on the second day 4 hours long? It should be like 1 hour long, right? When we do all the things? The answer is, well, we do everything again. But again, the Hasidus Sephardim talk about that a little more. They talk about maybe there is some element of Yom HaDin still in Rosh Hashanah on the second day. And if you say that, you know, we're judged on Yom Kippur, the Hasidus is on Yom Kippur for most of us, for whatever way we are, then maybe it's still relevant, okay? Again, you know, you have to figure out. A lot of things don't, again, I told you I'm not giving you any answers here. These are a lot of questions. Anyway, just to conclude from this whole thing, basically, again, there's a lot of loose ends that we didn't even get to, okay? If you have to go through every parish and try to figure out how each one works out the Gemara. But again, you see here that there, you know, the Rishon took these things very seriously, okay? We may not understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chashbonos, but we see the Rishon took the Gemara very seriously, and we see that obviously this is big stuff that's going on here, okay? Even if we don't quite understand what's happening, we have to remember that our, you know, din is on the line in whatever form it is, and we have to take it very seriously. So with that in mind, I would just say that just looking at current events in the past couple of weeks, you know, when I just thought about this last week, it just sort of hit me in the head, like, oh my gosh, this is really crazy. Okay? You see, you know, I looked, let's say, the New York Times headlines, and any headlines a couple of days ago from around the world. And, you know, okay, so you see one headline is, oh yeah, there's this Hurricane Harvey that, you know, destroyed half of Houston and put half of them underwater. They all lost their homes. They lost this. Wow. The next headline, oh, there's another hurricane coming, or the hurricane came to Florida and destroyed half of Florida, you know, this and the Keys, Florida Keys, and this and that. Oh my gosh, everything is flooded. People lost their homes. People lost power. God forbid, unfortunately, people died in the last couple of days in the nursing home. I think six people died there. Eight people died in the nursing home. because of the air conditioning problems, meaning this is not flood. It was just the air conditioning went down. But you see, like, what happens is crazy, okay? And you look at the next headline in the paper. Oh, there was a tremendous earthquake in Mexico. And, you know, how many, who knows how many people died there. People with thousands were injured and homeless and this and that. And then there was something else. I forgot where there was. There was wildfires. There was fire somewhere also, somewhere or other. So there was an article in the New York Times a couple days ago, if anybody saw it, that basically said, you know, some science fiction writer said that, you know, if you try to suggest right now that we're in, like, the days of the, you know, of the apocalyptic days, at the end of days, you know, we have four hurricanes and, you know, a humongous earthquake and wildfires, there's fires, like, you know, I couldn't tell you that you're wrong because this is crazy, all these things that are happening, you know? They had a better way of saying it. They said it really nice and I didn't have a chance to write it down exactly what they said, but go look up the article. You know, it's basically like, this is like the end of days here. This is ridiculous. What's going on to our world? You know, and I see these things and I say, oh my gosh, like Rosh Hashanah is coming next week. This can't be coincidence here. You know, we talk about, you know, mi ba'ish, that's fire. Mi ba'mayim, floods, hurricanes. Mi ba'rash, what's rash? It's not noise, rash is earthquake. Okay, the only one we didn't get is magefa. Let's hope we didn't get, but there could be magefa also. I think in the Caribbean, I think there was problems because of the earthquake, because of the hurricane, yeah. The waters weren't safe. Yeah. You know, who knows, it's crazy. And you look, you sit here thinking about Rosh Hashanah, and you say, well, some people today in our modern world, some people think they beat a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe they didn't beat him in terms of dying. Maybe they thought they beat him on, like, technology, on the weather. Like, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming to us with these events for whatever reason. And I'm not explaining why these people died and that people didn't. Those people didn't die. To be, you know, I have no idea. But I think what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us, certainly as Jews and for the rest of the world as well, is sort of tapping us on the head or slamming us on the head and saying, you know, you guys better remember that you're still not in charge. You may have progressed a lot in the world and I'm very happy with everything that you're doing, but you're not in charge. And I can do whatever I want and I can make anything happen here. And it's very, very scary. Okay. You read the headlines and you see what's happening and you read on, you know, when I read on Rosh Hashanah, mi barash, mi ba magifa, mi ba mai, I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. That's very nice. And I want to think and I want to get me scared, but like, okay, let's face it today that those deaths are not happening in that way, but
yeah.
They are. And it's really scary. So with that in mind, you know, the Emas Hadin, you know, I guess the part of the goal here is to try to remind us that, again, we have to have simcha and we have to come in with a positive attitude. But at the same time, we have to remember things that, you know, it's hard to understand Rosh Hashanah in our minds. We don't actually see the judgment happening. And this is a hard problem for all of us. You know, you get there in Rosh Hashanah and you really feel Hashem really judging you. We try to feel it. We try our best and we try to make our davening feel it and demonstrate it. But in your mind, you're always thinking, well, is it really true? Like, can I really feel it? All you have to do is look at a current events and just, you know, look at the photos. Okay, look at the photos. And now it's even better. Look at the videos. Okay, watch the videos. Okay, when you see, I let my kids watch some of these videos also a couple days ago. You know, one of them was like, some of the stuff was from America and the ones from the Caribbeans. When you see the wind, they had one camera that was right outside the rent-a-car place in St. Martin, I think, or one of the places. And they captured half the hurricane like on video. And you see the way these trees are blowing like 200 mile per hour winds. This is really scary. It's really scary stuff. And I'm like, I do not want to be standing outside at that time, you know? And you say, you look at your Yom HaDin and you say, my Yom HaDin has to be, I have to take this into account. I have to be thinking about all those people out there. Number one, because I'm davening for them, both Jews and non-Jews. And number two, for myself to really internalize what this means, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging me and we really have to get ourselves together to realize that, you know, Hashem can make anything happen and we really want to, you know, we shouldn't take anything for granted, let's just say. Okay? Cannot take anything for granted. We should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every minute that we're on this world, and we should thank Hashem everything that happened to us this past year, the good and the bad. And Dalin, the next year should be a good year as well. Anyway, on that note, to scare you, but it involves a lot of it, thinking about his bonenosin, whatever you want to call it. As Rosh Hashanah, we should all be zochet to consider, to daven, and to reflect upon ourselves having a good year. And Bezer Hashem, with coming into Rosh Hashanah with the right frame of mind of thinking about what we're doing and what our purpose is in life and trying to improve ourselves and to try to really think of ourselves being in the world of the Yom HaDin, we should be zoche for a good din for us and for all of our community and communities and for all of Klal Yisrael and for the entire world. Thank you. Thank you very much for...